Marion's going to read to us from Mark 3, verses 20 to 35. And this shows one instance when Satan convinced people that Jesus himself had an evil spirit. Let's listen to that reading now. Thanks, Marion.
This is from Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35, and it's on page 49 of the Good News Bible. Jesus and Beelzebul. Then Jesus went home. Again, such a large crowd gathered that Jesus and his disciples had no time to eat. When his family heard about it, they set out to take charge of him, because people were saying he's gone mad. Some teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem were saying, "He has Beelzebul in him. It is the chief of the demons who gives him the power to drive them out." So Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a country divides itself into groups which fight each other, that country will fall apart. If a family divides itself into groups which fight each other, that family will fall apart. So if Satan's kingdom divides into groups, it cannot last, but will fall apart and come to an end. No one can break into a strong man's house and take away his belongings unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. I assure you that people can be forgiven all their sins and all the evil things they say. But whoever says evil things against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, because he has committed an eternal sin." Jesus said this because some people were saying he has an evil spirit in him. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. They stood outside the house and sent in a message asking for him. A crowd was sitting around Jesus, and they said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside, and they want you." Jesus answered, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" He looked at the people sitting round him and said, "Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does what God wants him to do is my brother, my sister, my mother." Amen.
So who is on the Lord's side? There's so much in that reading that we shared this morning. Jesus said towards the end of that reading, "Whoever does what God wants him to do is my brother, my sister, my mother." You see, if we do what God wants us to do, then we are on the side of Jesus and against Satan. Susan had been on the side of Satan and worshipped him for 6 years. We were told it seemed fine when she started, and she even refused the advice of Christian friends who offered her an escape route, a way to a new life with Jesus. And Susan's story reminds us that Satan continues to convince people that his ways are best, tempts us to follow him. You remember, just after Jesus had been baptized by John and prior to the start of his ministry, Satan tempted Jesus. And Satan deceived and trapped Susan into following him. But our personal battles with Satan can be won by using the same tactics as Jesus. He faced three levels of attack. You'll remember them. We didn't have the reading this morning. But there was the attack over the bread. Command that these stones become bread. Now, Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days, so probably needed bread. But he knew that his need was for spiritual food rather than natural food. And so he told Satan that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it is when we are convinced that God will provide all our material needs that we are able to walk in faith and not in fear. And Jesus says, doesn't he, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You see, we don't have to worry when we trust God. And then the second temptation that Jesus faced took place where the devil placed him, on a pinnacle. And sometimes when we are on a pinnacle, Satan will play on our fear of failure. And then we start to lack confidence and think we're about to fall off, that we're going to fail. But then, of course, fear comes in two ways, doesn't it? There is healthy fear and unhealthy fear. The first will keep us dependent on God and will protect us from being self-centered and full of pride. But the latter fear keeps us in the boat, as it were, when Jesus calls us to step out on the water and to walk with him. We recall the story of Peter and how he came near to drowning when he tried to walk on the water. But you know, of all the disciples, he was the only one who knew the joy of walking on water. And of course, even if we have faith, there are times when we experience that sinking feeling. But we can choose. We can choose to give in to fear or turn to God. Trust him to give us the strength to cope with the situation that confronts us. But we need to beware if our basis for confidence is in our own talents and in our own intellect, then we have reason to fear. But if our basis for confidence is in God, then we have nothing to fear. And then moving to the third temptation Jesus faced, and we find Jesus high up on a mountain and being told by the devil that he could have everything that he could see. All the kingdoms of the world, they could all be his. All he had to do was worship the devil. In other words, you don't have to carry the cross. Just worship me, and all is yours. And Jesus replied, away with you, Satan. You see, God is not like a vending machine where you get whatever you want out by putting a few coins in. In Galatians, Paul writes this. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I don't know whether you've heard the saying, dead man walking. You know, if we want to live under the control of God and do his will, we have to die to our own will and do so on a daily basis. And Jesus was willing, he was determined to do God's way, And in doing so, he defeated Satan. And when we do things God's way, we win our own personal battles with Satan. Through his death and resurrection, Christ defeated Satan fairly and squarely. And he then ascended victorious to heaven to reign forever. And he was welcomed back as conqueror. But let there be no doubt today that today we remain the target of Satan. And he comes, as the Bible says, as a thief to steal, to kill and destroy lives today. And he is continually looking for someone, as it were, to devour. However, if we are on Christ's side, his victory on the cross enables us to triumph daily over the devil, over Satan. We win the spiritual battles, for that's what they are, not through brain or brawn, but in God's strength and by employing his strategies. Now, we've looked briefly at the tactics Jesus used to defeat Satan. How can we combat Satan? And what strategies does God give us in our battles? Well, I think a good start would be to have self-control and alertness. This means we have to be in charge of our emotions, our words and actions, etc. And it means we have to take responsibility for and take charge of our own lives and not let others control the way we live or letting Satan take the wheel and steer us away from God and the life that he wants us to live and to enjoy. And so we need to be alert to Satan's ways. Now, if we try to coast through life or just go with the flow, there is the danger that we will miss Satan's well-laid strategies and be unable to stop him. But being alert enables us to stop him gaining ground. And if we find ourselves in a situation where we're losing more than winning our battles with Satan, maybe it's because we have not really submitted ourselves to God. And that's another part of the strategy, submitting ourselves to God. Because following Christ enlists us in his army, not into a club for the religious elite to win our battles. To win our battles, we are part of Christ's army. And we must recognize our King and submit to him. Remember the Roman soldier who met Jesus. He recognized this. He recognized that, like Jesus, he got his power by submitting to authority. And it is Jesus who gives us the power to be conquerors in our battles with Satan, so long as we submit to him. That when we are tempted, let us surrender ourselves to Jesus, the King of Kings, who said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." You see, victory over Satan is possible under the authority of God and through Jesus. However, if we are to enjoy victory, it's important that our third part of the strategy comes into play, and that is to stay near to God. James tells us that God will stay near to us. But we need to make a decision to stay near to God. Now, Satan will endeavour by subtle and cunning ways to try slowly to cut us off from God. And like a soldier lost and on his own in battle, we become easy targets. But let us remember that even if we have been cut off or have, like young Susan, made the choice to distance ourselves from God, he says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." You see, whatever our circumstances, he remains faithful. He will come near to us, close the gap, and enable us to stand up and fight the good fight. God empowers us, as he did Jesus, not only to survive Satan's attacks, but to triumph over him. And so we can be bold in our faith, because the Lord our God is with us. And if we are on Christ's side, we can fight the good fight against all that is wrong and stand up to the foe, even though the conflict be fierce, because Christ will be our source of strength. Amen.